Just want to say, it's always so lovely to come to Himley Road. Like, as a family, we just love it. And I think if I was a lost soul coming in off the street, there would be nowhere that would make me feel as welcome as Himley Road. You know, everyone comes and says hello, and it's just so beautiful to be here. So thank you for having me. So this morning, we're going to be exploring a little bit together the Holy Spirit as wind. So at Springs recently, we've been through a Holy Spirit sermon where we've looked at how the Holy Spirit is presented in the Bible, and one of the ways is wind. So normally I would like to start with quite a relatable story, something I can link to the topic, and I racked my brains, but I just couldn't find anything groundbreaking about wind. Other than a few, you're all laughing. Not that type of wind. Other than a few broken fence panels, there's not much. I'm quite a big lady. I've never been knocked over or blown down by the wind. But more times than I can count have I been bowled over and completely floored by the Holy Spirit and its power showing up in my life. So we're just going to get stuck straight in, if that's okay with you this morning. I'm going to use some alliteration, which is going to help us just remember what God wants to tell us today. And the first one is energize, okay? So the Holy Spirit energizes us. It is life-giving. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we know that the Holy Spirit was there, right? So in Genesis 1, verse 2, we read, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water." So in the language that the Bible was originally written in, Hebrew and Greek, the word for spirit is the same word for the word as breath, wind, and spirit. They're all the same word. So this word here is ruach, which I'm probably not saying right, but we'll go with it. So in Genesis here, we hear the word ruach Elohim, which literally means the spirit of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, okay? What does this mean for us now? You know, this has already happened. The earth's already been created. What does it tell us about the Holy Spirit? It tells us that the Holy Spirit is creative and creates and was there at creation. What was once formless and void, as it says in some translations, now there is life. The Holy Spirit creates life. It brings into existence the power of God in our lives. Further on in Genesis, we read in chapter 2, verse 7, when God created man. "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." Now here, the Hebrew word for the breath is neshama, which also means, again, breath, wind, and spirit, showing here that it's the Spirit of God that breathed life into our very being. In Job 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." God's Spirit in us brings life. And scholars and Hebrew teachers, and this may be something that some people already know, but I just thought it was so beautiful. The scholars and Hebrew teachers believe that the sacred name of Yahweh, which in the Hebrew language was written as four consonants, YHWH. Scholars believe that this mimics inhaling and exhaling. So the inhale is the YH and the WH is the exhale. And this is the imprint of the Spirit's DNA in us, that in every breath we breathe, we speak His name. Our first breath to our last breath and every breath in between, we speak the name of God. The Spirit brings us life. So you might be thinking, this has already happened, you know, I'm biologically alive, but some days we may not feel it. We may feel a little bit dead. And the Holy Spirit can bring life again to what once was dead. In Ezekiel 37, verse 9, it says, "Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds. Son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds into these dead bodies so that they may live again." Verse 10, "So I spoke the message as he commanded, and breath came into their bodies and they all came alive so that they may live again." These bodies were once alive, but are now dead. And Ezekiel was told to call upon the breath, the wind, the spirit to resurrect these dry bones and renew them. A couple of weeks ago in our church, somebody asked a question. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a counsellor, so I ask a lot of challenging questions. So you may not like me for it sometimes, but this is the way God speaks to me. The lady was called Maggie, and she asked us as a church, What do we need God to resurrect in us? What was once alive but is now dead, and you need the wind and the breath and the spirit to breathe new life into? What situation, is it a family member, health, work? What is it that you need God to resurrect in your life? Where do you need that Holy Spirit, creative, life-bringing winds to blow? In Genesis 50, verse 20, this is my favourite scripture ever, I think. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many." What has the devil tried to kill off in you? What has the world and the enemy broken and it feels beyond repair and left scars and wounds? Where the world sees there's no coming back from, God sees life coming from. And we all have stories to tell that are similar to that, don't we? Have you ever been through something and thought, wow, only God's got me through that because I don't know how I was going to get through it otherwise? Or you may be there now thinking, God, I don't see how you're going to bring this to good. But God is saying, I can bring life even in the places the enemy's tried to bring death. Not only can I get you through it, but I'm bringing you to a position, as it says in Genesis, to save the lives of those around you, and that's through his spirit. The spirit brings life. Okay, so the next way that we see the winds of the spirit is empowering us. The spirit brings courage. The wind is unseen, isn't it? But we see its power in storms and tornadoes. We feel its impact when the winds are blowing. We see its effect. The wind is powerful to empower. So in Acts 2 verse 2, this is the arrival of the Spirit at Pentecost. It says, "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting." The disciples would have known that this was the arrival of the promised helper because they know that the word for wind also meant spirit. How exciting would this have been in that moment? Like, I would have been buzzing. You'd been absolutely blown over, wouldn't you? Pun intended. But you would know that undeniably the spirit's come. You would be so good. You'd be feeling on top of the world. But it didn't stop there. Now, the story of Acts doesn't end there. They felt good. Great. They went home and God had blessed them. It doesn't end there. In verse 6, it says, "When they heard the loud noise," so this is the sound of the winds and speaking in other languages and tongues, "everyone came running." People were drawn to them. People are naturally drawn to the life-giving power springing spirit in you because the world hasn't got anything to offer like that. But here in Acts, we saw then that the people didn't understand what was happening. They're just from Galilee, they said, where people were known to be uncultured and poor speakers. So when I did a bit of research, it was thought that they had a hard time pronouncing throaty sounds and had a habit of swallowing syllables, which is a bit bizarre. But does that sound like anybody we know from round here? I can imagine there's people who would think the same about us in Gornal or Black Country or wherever it is you're from. But here we see that they are astounded at what the Spirit is doing in them. And then someone from the crowd, as somebody always does, says, "Oh, they're just drunk." Have you ever had anyone try and minimise what the Spirit's doing in you? They just put it down to, "Oh, you're just a good person," or, you know, craziness or positive thinking. But we know it's the Spirit's work, but they just don't understand. The disciples then go up to stand up and explain. In verse 14, it says, "Then Peter stepped forward with the other 11. Some translations say that they stood up. So this is an action. It's not passive, you know. They've had to do something here. And do you know, when I did my research on wind, the wind is always there. So it's rated on a Beaufort scale from 0 to 12, which is calm to hurricane force. But even at 0, it's less than 1 mile an hour, but it's still there. It's active all the time, just as we must act as God's called us to do. Peter then preaches through the Spirit, and 3,000 people get saved. 3,000, like, how good's that? Imagine that in Gornal. 3,000 people saved. But this is the same Peter who betrayed Jesus mere chapters ago. The same Peter who chopped off someone's ear. The same Peter who, and I absolutely love this, God bless Peter, who in this very preach says, "Oh, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for that." He doesn't even say, "Oh, you know, we're so holy, we don't get drunk." He says, "It's only 9 o'clock. This is Peter who's not a finished article. This is Peter who's a work in progress. This is like me. This is like you. Somebody who's not, God's not finished with yet, but God has used him to bring salvation to 3,000 people. And I think that's just amazing, isn't it? That could be us. And I think the real crux of the message here at the in when Pentecost, in verse 37, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. Peter was speaking what the Holy Spirit was giving him. Peter's a normal, messed up guy, just like the rest of us. Yet the Holy Spirit was still using him. So don't check yourself out because God's not finished. We can't do this without him. And thank God that we never actually have to. Have you ever been on a flight and it's meant to have taken, let's say, 3 hours, 40 minutes? But the pilot comes on at the end once everyone's clapped him and says, oh, we made it in 2 hours, 50 minutes because we picked up a tailwind. The distance from point A to B was exactly the same, but the power behind it was different. So I'm going to ask you today, what are you doing in your own strength? Where do you need the Holy Spirit wind to come and help you and let his power move through you in your own life? What is God empowering you for right now? It'll be different for all of us. We all have different walks. But where do you need the power of God to show up in your life? Whilst I was prepping for this, I was using a different Bible, like an old one, and I've not seen it in years. And this little note fell out. And I reckon this note's probably 6 or 7 years, but when I've rethought about it, I actually think it's older than that. And this is written from my dad, and it's 1 John 4, verse 4. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do we need reminding of that today? That the Holy Spirit in us is greater than anything in this world. He who is in us is empowering us, and we are more than conquerors with Christ. So the Holy Spirit empowers us. We've learned that. What for? So when I was planning this, when I do my preach prep, I handwrite everything. And I'm just going to expose myself here a little bit. I'm really bad at spelling. It's not true what they say, you know, read more, it makes you good at spelling. I can read 3 books in a week, but I can't spell. So when I was writing this, originally I thought the word impart was spelt with an E. When I typed it up, I realised it's spelt with an I. So it doesn't actually fit the alliteration, but we're going to roll with it anyway because it sounds like an E, okay? So the next way that the Holy Spirit helps us is to impart. Mark 16 verse 15 says, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. This is our call. This is our mission. This is our job as Christians. This is what we've been saved to do. Okay? And in Acts 1 verse 8, the very last thing Jesus said to his disciples is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We are empowered to impart, okay? So we're going to take you back to GCSE. GCSE, bit of plant biology. Gemma, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a science teacher. But there's a form of pollination called wind pollination. So this is where seeds are transferred from one individual to another using the wind. And by our house, there's 2 absolutely massive poppy fields that bloom once a year. And they're gorgeous, but once these flowers are in bloom, all throughout the streets and all in the country lanes, you can see poppies everywhere, just in the cracks of pavements, in the gutters, and they've just popped up, and this is wind pollination. It's the transfer of something living to something somewhere else. This is natural. It cannot be contained when it comes to these poppies. But what has God placed in you for you to impart to others? What has he brought you through so you can help others? And Pastor John had spoke about a couple of weeks ago. He asked us, you know, talking about leaking the Holy Spirit. And when I was 15, I preached for the first time, and I preached on radiators and drains. I know, bear with me. But I said there's 2 types of people. You know, we all know radiators. They're bubbly. They're so energetic. They bring so much joy and happiness and sunshine. And drains are just suck all the life out of a room. We all know these types. And I did say to our church, and I said this, I said, if you don't know a drain, then it's probably you, so maybe you need to ask God for some help. But there's no drains in Himley Road, is there? We're all these radiators, okay? But if we're not leaking the Holy Spirit, if we're not radiating His fruits, if we're not radiating the Holy Spirit out, then what are we radiating? What are we passing on to those around us if it's not the Holy Spirit? So this is the final part, and it's going to help us if we feel like we're not leaking the Holy Spirit, because we all have times in our life where we don't feel like we're just there, and we feel like we're just miserable, and nothing's going our way, and it just feels like an uphill battle. This is where the Holy Spirit really comes to help us, I think. The Holy Spirit, as a wind, comes to edify us, okay? So edify means to instruct or improve something morally. This is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He comes to edify us by challenging and changing and convicting us to the ways of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. There's that breath again, that Spirit of God. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter then goes on to say that the Holy Spirit superintended so there were no errors in the original writings when God spoke to the individuals. So our Bible is our training and teaching and correction manual on how God calls us to live, bless you, to truly experience the life that he has for us. Have there ever been things that you think, oh, before I was a Christian, I could do that so easy, but now it just doesn't feel right? Or further on in your walk with Christ, you may have done something at the beginning and not thought twice about it, but now it just feels a bit like, ugh, just doesn't sit with you quite well. That's the Holy Spirit, and I'd urge you to lean into that. And you might be thinking, you know, well, it's all good and well having that feeling, but what do I do with it? The Bible says when we're faced with temptation, we will always be provided a way out of it. And sometimes that's easy to overcome, but other times it's hard and you've just got to say no. But the Holy Spirit will highlight that in us, and he'll convict us, and he's going to empower us to overcome it. Remember, he that is within you is greater than temptation. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit convicted the crowd through Peter, and it led 3,000 people to become saved. And that's amazing. Sometimes it will lead to that change, and it's wonderful. And other times, the Spirit in you will convict other people, and they may become challenging towards you. And they may become defensive and feel like without you even saying anything, you're judging them. They think you're better than me because you're a Christian and this and that. And it's like, well, I haven't said anything. And this is uncomfortable when it happens, and it's hard. But we can use this as an opportunity to be real with them and give the glory to God and say, it's not me. I'm just as messed up as the next person. But God's using me and God's working in me. And we can obviously use it to pray for them. A breeze can be both a good thing and a bad thing, right? When it was hot a couple of weeks ago, when anyone felt a breeze, everyone said, oh, that was a lovely breeze. We've all said it in the last couple of weeks. It's great, isn't it? But when you get at the pool on holiday and you go and sit in the shade and then you feel a breeze, it's horrible. It's really cold and it's uncomfortable, isn't it? So a breeze, which is exactly the same, can be one of two things, depending on where you are, where you're sitting. Just as the same as the Holy Spirit can work. If you're walking in the ways of the Lord, then that cool breeze looks like confirmation. It feels the Spirit confirm to you, yes, you're where the Lord wants you to be, or this is for you, keep going. But if you're not walking in the ways of the Lord, then that breeze can be quite a cold wake-up call. And sometimes it can be gentle, or sometimes it can be wild. You know, the wind may need to be gently removing the dead leaves from a tree. Back to GCSE science. Leaves that are green bring life into the plant through photosynthesis, but dead brown crusty leaves don't. A gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit may need to remove some things in your life that are no longer bringing you joy in life. But we have to let those leaves go. To expose myself a little bit further, I'm really good at holding righteous grudges. Only little ones, they're not massive, but I can hold them well. If I feel like someone's done something that they shouldn't have done towards me, I can hold on to it quite well. But that doesn't bring me life. That makes me bitter. And God's called me to be better. But I have to let go of that. The wind may come, but if I'm holding on to that dead leaf, what's it serving me? I have to let it go. Or it may be bigger. It may be a branch or a root that's going to take some big gale force winds to blow it out. And in my study of wind, I learned that the wind always has a direction. It's not easy or the most comfortable things when these big edifying winds come. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, for the Spirit of the Spirit is the Lord, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. this process of edification, of the winds blowing all the rubbish out your life, may not be comfortable, but it's always directing us towards freedom. So just as we come into a close, you may want to close your heads, bow your heads. And I'm just going to ask you some questions that you may want to reflect on, and then I'll pray at the end. And whatever the Holy Spirit highlights in you, you know, take it into your week this week and ask God to help you. So what's not bringing you life? What's not bringing you towards freedom? What do you need the winds of the Holy Spirit to blow off within you? Or what do you need the power of God to show up in your life right now? Where do you need the Holy Spirit to bring life and resurrection? What do you need power for? So I'm just going to pray. And if the Holy Spirit's revealed something in you, then you can obviously take this into your own personal reflections this week. Lord, I thank you that you love us enough to just never leave us as we are. And you always want to make us more like you. And I thank you for this welcoming family in Himley Road. And I just pray, Lord, whatever's been brought to the minds through your spirit of the people in your family today, Lord, I pray you empower them to make the change that you need, Lord. Or I pray that you bring power to resurrect and bring life into situations that feel dead. Lord, I thank you that you work all things together for our good and your glory. And I pray that whatever has been brought to the minds of your children today, Lord, that these are situations that can bring you glory and you can turn to good in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.